even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, wait, I need to talk about this. Okay, hey everyone.
Hi.
Hi, it's me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. You're listening to Babe, and I'm here with a new guest who's beginning her arc on the pod.
Yeah.
You may recognize her from the gram, from other podcasts, from her incredible writing, or you may be new. And now
welcome.
I'd like you to meet Tierney Finster.
Yay. Thank you.
I'm so happy you're here.
Me too. I've listened to Babe so many times. The only thing that's allowed me to actually hang up my clothes after doing laundry
love.
On multiple occasions. So
love.
It's crazy to be on the other side.
This is Hollywood.
Yeah. Wow.
I was like thinking, because I've never done a babe one-on-one with a woman. So this is like a groundbreaking moment.
Babes.
Yeah. Babes, female girl power.
Yes. Fans.
And I was thinking, did you listen or do you ever listen to the Goop podcast?
So no, I don't. But I recently listened to a podcast about people listening to the Goop podcast and
really?
Reading the Goop newsletter. So I feel acquainted, but
Gwyneth and Sarah Jessica Parker just did an episode together,
wow.
And it is truly one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
What do they speak about?
They speak about all sorts of stuff, but they start off the podcast just like complimenting each other. Like they do that like actress, like it's,
oh.
You know, when like two ooh. Actresses, like they get together.
Oh, it's and, like us. I see where you're heading.
And they're like, oh my God, no, you look so beautiful. You're just so stylish. I don't know how you do it. And then,
like, no, you're radiant.
Yeah. And then Sarah just gave her, it's like, oh, stop, please. No, it's stop. It's you. Like, you're the one. And then Gwyneth's like,
yeah.
No, I'm trash. Like, you're the most beautiful person. And they do that back and forth for about 5 minutes.
It's crazy that some people are more aspirational about Sarah Jessica Parker than Gwyneth.
I didn't know that Gwyneth stand SJP that
I didn't
much.
Either, and I don't even think of their aesthetics like Venn diagramming at any point.
But they go way back. But,
yeah, I can. It's not too hard to see what they have in common.
They both live in the Hamptons. Their kids
yes.
are hanging out.
Oh, wow.
Their lives are very intertwined.
I mean, I'm sure SJP would like a lifestyle brand a la Goop.
She has her like shoe
shoes.
Brand. Yeah. She started
she
a book
worst
imprint.
Style in the world. I am like a total hater.
You're not here for SJP.
Oh my goodness, no. I mean, I'm here for Carrie.
Yeah.
But, and I'm here. I mean, I love it. I love to hate it.
Mm-hmm. I have not gotten into ever SJP's like shoe brand. I don't even think she makes shoes in my size, so there's no justice there.
That's not Paris Hilton, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. They just have never spoken to me personally.
It's horrible. I don't know every shoe in her line, so it's not as though I'm super informed to, you know, have an opinion, but
I've seen some cute ones, but then I'm like, whenever I just like mentally check out if they don't have like a size 11, which is often the case.
Yeah, that's yeah. annoying. Justice for inclusive sizes in fashion.
Yeah, feet too. Don't forget.
Yes.
Yeah. Feet so that's my new hashtag
yeah,
is feet too.
Maybe Paris can join you as a co-sponsor of that initiative, because I'm sure she's had many custom fit.
Yeah. And her shoes are always really hideous to me.
Of course.
She always, I've never seen her wear a shoe,
nice shoe
that's spoken to my soul.
Probably not in at least 15 years.
Yeah.
I feel like she had some early 2000s club stiletto I would get behind, but probably not wear myself these days.
Yeah. It was a definitely like a 2001, 2002. Like that's probably when her shoe game peaked.
Ankle, yeah.
And then she started like, sometimes she'll wear like a really unclear flat, and that always like throws me, like a flat, a closed like, toe mental flat with a maxi dress.
Yeah.
And it no, scares me.
That was really archetypal though.
Yeah.
That look.
Such a look.
Flats. The thing about flats that killed me is like in high school, I aspired to wear flats and thought like that would make me chic and cool, and you know, shoes, like I feel like honestly this is the best year of shoes I've ever had in my life, but shoes, you always want more and nicer ones.
Yeah.
And I still do, but like what I hated learning about flats so quickly is that most flats aren't even comfortable, or they're comfortable after you wear them for like 2 years and they look like shit. So
yeah, they look all beat up and like floppy.
The look should be cozy, you know?
Yeah, there's like, I feel like you have to do kind of like a pointed toe, like a Chanel kind
exactly.
of point.
Like a bitch flat.
Yeah. I remember when I got into like when Tory Burch first came on the scene, I was like, I'd never been happier.
So what were you up to? Like, were you in high school or college?
I was in college. I was going to college in Chicago, and I like had moved into my own apartment, and I was just like feeling myself, and Tory Burch made size 11
city chic wear.
Yeah, city chic wear, and also inclusive for my foot size, and I was just like, oh my god, these are like the chicest flats in the entire world. I got like three pairs, I think.
Rotation.
I went crazy, and then got the ones with the huge gold Tory Burch.
Well, yeah, all of them to me have that.
Yeah, but so, then she started making ones without that were just it. Like plain, without any hardware.
For people less ostentatious.
Yeah, and then I wore those for a while, but then they got all beat up and gross, as flats are wont to do.
I just remember starting college, and I was looking around like, what the fuck? Because everyone had that style of shoe.
Because you went to LMU.
I went to LMU, and I had already had an experience that was quite different from, like, I already was living a little bit adult-like, or at least I had a lot of access to, like, clothes or style or I don't know, subculture or something, and getting to LMU and it being like all these people who just moved to LA and on a mountaintop and or like a hillside, Tory Burch flats, and it was like such a country club vibe, you know, and I was like, what is this? And texting pictures to my like friend who's the most like that, like who like taught me what like a long chomp bag was, you know, and she was like, Tory Burch, like, yeah, every bitch has these, like blah 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 blah, and she was going like off to Boston to wear hers every day proudly too, you know. It wasn't
Tory Burch is such like a college vibe,
useful,
so useful.
And I could see it. I mean, I've definitely had
versatile
questionable shoe choices or cozy shoe choices that not everyone in my life has supported.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You have some like throwback style of shoes.
Sure.
You'll throw it back to like, I feel like you have had, I've seen you rock like kind of like this, you know, it wasn't Skechers. It was like Steve Madden, like the black band, those shoes that like everyone had.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like you've had versions of that, which I appreciated.
I've thrifted every shoe I ever wanted as a child, for sure. So like any platforms or creepers or like any shoe by Candy, I've come into. But Candy. The thing about these shoes is like I'll love them and find some really cool, funny pair, and before I can even figure out how to wear them the best, like usually they break, you know what I mean, if they're so old. But
what were your like, what were the shoes that you wore like growing up, or like that were
like
cool,
my go-to shoes?
Or just like that were like the cool shoes that made a splash at your school.
Well, in middle school, I was in middle school, I was really cool for having Uggs because I had grown up having Uggs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it was nothing new to you.
Yeah, it wasn't new to me, but I did have a new vested interest in them. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably wore them more and got some like special alternative pairs, you know, beyond the classic boot.
I love an alternative
people
pair.
Definitely loved. Yeah, dark chocolate brown lace up with visible fur.
Oh, same. I had a black lace up that kind of looked like moccasin. sense. Exactly. But then they had like gray fur on the inside. Matched. Yeah, we matched.
In middle school, I really, really wanted rainbow sandals. And we weren't allowed to wear sandals to school, but I just really needed them for summer before eighth grade. Yeah, I was obsessed. And I don't know how much they were, like $50 or something. Like, to me now that I've been a spendthrift on my own accord for years, it doesn't sound like that much. But like at the time, I think my mom was like, liked nice things. I was like, fuck that.
For a flip-flop.
Yeah, and I remember the first Friday, I had a pair, and then there was a sports and surf store I'd always go to, and they had like end of summer sale, and I got a second pair in like a blue color. And then the first Friday after school in eighth grade, my best friend, who knew that I wanted those shoes a lot or knew that I was excited to have them and didn't have them, so maybe was slightly hating on me, she put them on and stepped into a pool, but was like, what? They're flip-flops. I'm like,
they're leather.
They're leather. And you...
That's a hate crime.
That's so not... Like, was so unchill of her.
It was very unchill.
Yeah, and now that homeowner is a little guy's house we were partying at is a doctor. What about you? What shoes were you?
The shoes that were really popular, I'm trying to think, like Birkenstock, like the slide on, like the Boston ones. So there, it was like a closed toe Birkenstock. Like I wore those on like my
those
first.
Those are cute though.
Those are cute. And I want to get a pair.
Yeah,
for
I would. I'm laughing at that being an aspirational shoe, mm-hmm. but in a youth moment, but. I would like them now.
Yeah, my like high school style was very like Birkenstocks,
coffee house,
like Abercrombie.
Yeah, ooh, lots she of, like, hadn't let go of like the princessy
yeah.
parts, but had
it was
new
like
ones.
I loved like a skirt mm-hmm. with a tank
with
top,
a little tank.
And then
spaghetti strap.
Yeah, and then the closed-toed Birkenstocks. That
Such
was like
a chiller.
It was a chill look.
Yeah,
but I remember my freshman year of high school, I wore like. A different outfit almost every day for the first like 4 months of school.
Right. You're obsessed with showing.
And I would get really ugly. I was always attracted to like hideous clogs at like Nine West.
Yes.
Like whatever weird color or like fur combination they had, I was like, yes. And then Ooh. I would just like get those.
I want some. I don't think I've never really had nice clogs, but. My mom was always trying to get me to wear the ones that sound like you like the Nine West random.
There was ones that were like blue cow fur yeah. with like a blue wooden heel.
That's what I'm looking for at Goodwill these days.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that was ahead of my time,
exactly.
I think. Yeah. And so I would rock those. I'd start with a shoe and then like kind of build up from there.
That's really good. I did the opposite for years because it's like, the right shoe is way harder to find to me, even though I feel like I have more access to shoes or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's harder for me now, too.
Like,
All I wear are like Birkenstocks or like
yeah,
a tennis
like,
shoe.
Once I
like
got
a
pair of Birkenstock, like, I have like the Croc Birkenstocks, you know, so they're so light. Mm-hmm. And I just started wearing them all the time. And only the last couple of weeks, I've been making myself wear other slides or like little things, the little heat, a mule, not a slide,
a
you
mule,
know, so
yeah.
that I just can feel like a little, you know, I love being sexy and mm-hmm. Birkenstocks are pretty much like,
they're
you
pretty
can make them
non-sexy.
Cute, but they're not sexy
no, they're
ever.
Never going to be sexy.
And it's like, I think you need to know me a long time. Like I've explored so many sexy types of dress.
Yeah.
that I don't want to lose that all to this comfortable foam core sandal.
I have to say, when I saw you in those Birkenstocks, I was a little bit taken aback.
You're like, oh.
They were on brand because they were pink, but then they were off brand yeah. because they were a Birkenstock.
Exactly. And I sort of, if you notice, I'm wearing green khaki trousers.
I'm really into your like jungle. It's like, it's a jungle, like kind of preppy. Mm-hmm. Like Raquel Welch
Ooh.
Goes to the office.
That's I'll take that.
Yeah.
Here I am in my office. But I feel so adult with these trousers. And I kind
They're
of equate
adult.
Them to when I wear these, though, with the Birkenstock, it's Berkeley Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was in Berkeley a lot this summer for a little bit. And it felt really good, you know. But then,
yeah.
like, honestly, I was in the coffee shop writing and working on stuff. Looking around by the end of my trip, and I was like, I need to go home. Like, I want it to be like hot and like the weather to be hot and like, you know.
You were over it.
I like.
You were seconds away from getting like a Patagonia fleece.
Yeah, like it was just too chill. I want to live in, because I would love to spend more time there living a bit. Like I think it's a really nice place to write and study things and just like hang out with really cool people. But I love glam.
You do love glam.
And I'm going to have that. I mean, I'm Raquel Welch. Like.
You are. My glam has been like missing lately, I feel like, because I'm at home every day. So sometimes there's just no need to glam. But then even like sometimes it feels like too much effort. But that's something that's been on like the forefront of my mind is I'm like, OK, I need to like try and do more because I feel better when I think that I look like camera ready.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, like one of my friends who's really good actress and really hot was like telling me she was on her way to get some like facial kind of treatment. And she was like, you know, I need to always look ready. And I was, and she was kind of saying it as like a mutual call for us to always look ready because like starlit screen, big screen. And then I'm like sitting there like, fuck, yeah, yeah, we do. Like, let me try. Cause I also spend so much time writing, you know, I have a lot of writing published in a week. And then it's not as though I want to sit and do my makeup before I do that every morning.
No.
So I feel the same way where it's also like sometimes not doing anything to yourself, like when you can or when you are going to be on your own terms or whatever, it's like makes your skin or hair nicer for when you do want to get all glammed up.
Yeah. You're like letting it breathe for a little
bit. Yeah, it's disgusting to wear stuff every day.
But like sometimes I'm just like, wow, I've gone like 3 days, like my hair's in like a high pony.
Yeah.
Like things are dire.
Yeah. Or you're like, remember how pretty I look with mascara?
Yeah.
Which I see right now.
You look, I know, beautiful. Today I made things happen.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's probably been like a week since I wore makeup. Yeah. And I was like, this needs to change because I start to think of myself as like being hideous. And I'm just like, wow, sucks. I'm just like hideous now. And like, I guess this is who I am anymore. And what I look like. And I just like aged out of my hotness and now I'm 34 and this is it. Just downhill from
like,
here.
Literally some BB cream and mascara and you're like, hey.
And I'm like, hey. I guess like a goal of mine would be to like glam it up for the last part of this year.
Mm-hmm.
How do I infuse some more glam into my life?
Totally. Like, I will, not really in a strict way, schedule, but like, for example, I made an appointment at Sephora to get my makeup done tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I made that appointment on like Saturday of last week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because honestly, everyone wants their makeup done these days. They go like every time I try to make, I used to book a same day and it's not available anymore. Mostly everyone is using.
Is that the spot to go to? Is Sephora?
It's hit or miss. But
if you have like a person,
local, if you're going in Los Angeles, I can recommend the best people at different Sephoras, whether we're talking the Grove, Hollywood and Highland.
Oh my God. Love
different locations in the Valley. But yeah, I mean, I'm in like a VIB or whatever, so I don't have to pay. So it's like,
oh, so it's free.
Yeah. But otherwise, anytime that you plan to buy something at Sephora, that's $50 or more, which if you get two things, it's almost always going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
You should always think about it in advance and make an appointment because then, like, to get your makeup done, it just costs $50 worth of products. Not just, but I just think people don't really know that you could easily get
it. It's an added bonus.
Yeah.
I get really nervous about my makeup.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it.
Mm-mm. I always am like, whenever someone is going to, like, if I'm ever going to pay them or entrust them with the task of, like, doing my hair or something.
Yeah.
I turn into like the white lady who wants to speak to the manager. Like totally. I'm fully just watching every single thing they do and like mentally checking off a list of why they're horrible and should be fired.
Well, I approach it like a colleague and I am super forthcoming about everything I like, everything I hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to them like, this is what I use and this is what I definitely don't want. And if I see something weird, I'm like, what's up with this eye?
Yeah.
You know, like, and basically they'll just bring someone else over. The person's not doing it right. So I feel like
they cycle out.
Yeah.
Have you gone through more than two makeup artists?
No, just to like, so one time at Hollywood and Highland Sephora, which
that seems like the most TBD of all.
No, it's not. It's the best one. The main artists there are so good, and people aren't really using that service there much because it's sort of a tourist.
Yeah.
Sephora, and I feel like of all people born in LA, I hang out at Hollywood and Highland the most because it's usually somewhere that everyone avoids.
That is a babe revelation
but
to
I've
me.
I've been there a lot on my own. I mean, dozens of times on my own getting my makeup done there.
You love it there.
I love Miguel and I love Alex. And the team there is amazing. But then one time there, someone else did my makeup while these guys that I love were also there and busy. And even like, and one of, I didn't say anything, but one of them was like, babe, like, I'm going to take a minute and redo your lips. And then like showing the guy who did my lips, like what he did wrong. And honestly, I left and my friend who's a makeup artist was like, who did your makeup? Like she did not like that go around, but I'm pretty, I'm not precious because unless it's a special event in which like I'll be way more thoughtful about it. I just love having fun with a face. So I'm down, you know, like people, I've had all sorts of makeup. That's so weird. Or yeah. I don't know. People can do such weird things with your makeup, which is why I'm finally getting to that Beyonce place where I'd rather just do my makeup myself most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate putting on false lashes and I refuse to get eyelash extensions.
Don't get eyelash extensions.
No.
You know what I want to try is the lash lift.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that?
What happens with that?
It's like they perm your lashes and then it just curls up. So they curl up like.
I'm down.
And they stay like that. I think it's like less than $100.
Oh, wow. I would definitely do that. I've never dyed my lashes either, but
I did that once and I was not impressed
about it.
Yeah. It didn't really do anything for me one way or another.
Have you ever tried Grande Lash?
No, but it's on my wish list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a plug. Someone better get that for you.
It's expensive, though.
Really?
But I found it's cheaper, like the exact same thing essentially but for cheaper that had more reviews I put that on there too, so there's like
either or.
I love giving people various price points to fuck with. But I'm really curious about that because Latisse is out for me because they said with people with green eyes it'll like fuck your eyes up.
Would rather drop dead.
I'm not doing
that. Me neither. It's not worth it.
No,
Lara and I's eye color isn't that different.
No, yours is kind of like a blue-green.
Lighter? Yeah, I don't know. They're both beautiful and sort of crystal-like.
I'm loving, too, that we're both brunettes now.
I know, it's so major. It really is, existentially.
When we worked together, like, a few years ago at the same office, we were both blondes.
Yeah, and I was like, you got so blonde over the course of beginning to work there. Like, at first you started with a highlight that probably wasn't that much more intense than what you have now. But then really quickly, it was, like, so blonde.
Yeah, I built off of it.
And mine was, like,
you
white.
Inspired me because you were platinum.
Platinum. People will probably, like, still think you're super blonde.
People have been, like, granted, I don't go out that much. But when I have, they've been, like, oh, my God, like, what's going
on?
And they're, like, did you dye it? And I'm, like, no, it's just growing out. And I think that a lot of people bought that I was just, like, a natural blonde for a long time. Which I, you know,
crazy, because natural blonde isn't ever pretty.
Natural blonde isn't even blonde.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even stay like that.
No. And I also...
I'm surprised at how many guys just believe in blonde, like, as a thing. Like...
as something that's not insanely kept up and maintained.
Like, my ex was just like, oh, you dye... we'd been dating for, like, 6 months, and he was like, oh, you dye your hair? And I was like...
you're like, yeah, that's why all of that, which you see connected to my head, isn't...
like,
color.
Do you see, like, this part that's growing out is different, and then there's, like, streaks in it. Those are highlight. But I was just like, guys...
do you see the multi-dimension?
Yeah, like, guys don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
They're just like, wow, they look good, like, or this looks good, and that's just how it is.
Totally. And it's, like, literally thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's
and
an investment.
Unless you're extremely rich, and even then, really, there's no way to have healthy platinum hair for any amount of time almost.
No. It's you have to be able to go like every 6 weeks or 6 to 8. Yeah. I mean, 8 weeks is eight, pushing it.
If you love rock and roll.
Yeah.
I would have to feel like a rock and roller. I really did.
Yeah, it'd be like rock of love.
I'd be like, okay, Courtney Love. Like, yeah. Bait, I could put a dress. You know, like I would have to get into this style vibe.
Yeah, you could have a root.
Yeah, yeah, I've been rooted. I love the way blonde looked, and I used it. I had many iconic blonde looks and Marilyn moods. And so cute, but
like for me, I felt like being blonde felt like a substitute, like it was like a shield in a way.
It's like a hot glamour puss thing.
Yeah, where it's just like if you have like long blonde hair, I don't know, it's just like
I wanted it. Yeah, I wanted.
Yeah, and I miss it.
Yeah,
because
it's the anti-Birkenstock in that way of like you just feel hot, like there's something very hot about it, and it's like socialized to be something that people really like, even if they don't like it representing like the singularity of its beauty or something. I don't know. When I turned really ice blonde, it launched an entire style journey of like me getting all these old Dior bags and old Louis Vuitton Murakami bags and like really being a Sephora bitch for the first time and like just spending my whole college experience getting high and doing makeup and hair. The thing about being blonde too that I would hear a lot from people that I actually respected, like mean queens basically who I would do creative work with, like multiple times I heard from these men like, do not dye your hair, are you kidding me, like if basically making it really clear that blonde is what sells me and like basically like I'm already not skinny, like don't put another thing against you, like nobody wants to cast you as a brunette.
And whoa.
And I heard that a lot to the point that it made me want to be brunette because I'm like, fuck off. Like, this is all my choice. Like, everything that you perceive about me that you found interesting or whatever is something that I have shared or I have done. So, like, fuck off, you know?
That's crazy. But right? I also, like, see, like,
I get why people think that's okay to say. But
I get why people think that's okay to say. But I would argue that you're much more interesting as a brunette.
Interesting, yeah.
Because you could always go blonde with like a wig.
That's what I'm saying. Like that is like the makeup thing. It's like acting like a bitch, get a wig. Like I'll be blonde tomorrow. I could be blonde tonight when I go home. I have a beautiful collection of blonde wigs, but I hardly wear them because it makes me too hot and I have such a big head.
Did you play with Barbie dolls growing up?
Oh, heck yeah. I would like love to play with them.
Love a Barbie doll moment.
I had a huge interest in Sally Jesse Raphael playing like in the middle of the day at home. And I was watching TV all the time and I'm an only child. So like, I don't know, I would like any, I was really into like Golden Girls Designing Women and Sally Jesse at like 5 or something.
Love.
And I would make a panel of Barbies and then one would be the host.
So your Barbie game was like a talk show.
Yeah. And I would like cut off the legs or like anything that had happened to them because I was never one and I'm still not one to take care of my things. Like whatever rough and tumble situations had fallen upon them, I would just use it.
That they were going on the show to talk about.
To talk about whether it was something with their anatomy or
they're like,
just
I'm
like,
an amputee. And
yeah, that was like the most literal example I can think of. But there was other more subtle things too.
Oh my God, I love that.
You liked Barbie and did you know Kelly at the time too?
Yeah, I had a Kelly.
Kelly's cute.
Or no, I don't think I had a Kelly. I had Skipper.
Skipper.
Skipper had flat feet.
Skipper had a sister totally, too, right?
Yeah, Skipper's Barbie's sister, but she had flat feet and like a totally different body than Barbie.
So weird.
It was weird.
Was she like the athletic?
She was just shorter, like younger, but like remember Barbie has this like arch, like crazily arch,
Kylie
like
Jenner
baby
feet.
Yeah. And so my Barbie game though was always like I would get a bunch of Barbies together. I had a Barbie car, aww, like that they could all pile into, like a Jeep, and then they would go shopping. So I'd set perfect up all their clothes, like the mall, and then they'd go shopping and
they'd
get ready for prom or like a party. Yeah, and they'd go grab everything.
Everything is about getting ready for prom.
Yeah, it was always about a prom or like an event of some sort.
That sounds fun. I don't think I ever had a Barbie. Maybe I had a Corvette, but I don't know. I feel like if I had a car, I would remember it more and I would have put it to use too.
Yeah. That was like, how else were they going to get from point A to point
B? How else could they go to the mall?
Yeah. I miss Barbies.
I know. I mean, I don't know if you saw this video I posted on Instagram during wintertime, but I went with my mom to the toy store at the farmer's market right here. Mm-hmm. And she saw, I happened to be filming her when she saw Curvy Barbie for the first time.
Wait, I
she
didn't
see
that.
She was flipping out.
Did she love it?
No, she's like, what? And we're both like fat women. And she's like, what? Oh, what? Like, and because also Curvy Barbie's not like all that curvy.
No.
You know what I mean? So it was
Curvy Barbie's like a size 10.
Yeah. And like, very athletic, but that's such a trope too, where it's like every plus size model is like constantly putting themselves at the gym on Instagram, like mm-hmm. fit curvy. It's like, okay,
mm-hmm. we get it, you work out.
Yeah, bitch, we know, we're all there. But then yeah, I just loved my mom's like shock and awe over the curvy she's like, Curvy Barbie?
I love her anger at Curvy yeah. Barbie.
Instead of being like, oh, wow, look how this represents me and my daughter. She's like, what?
She's like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like Barbie's one of those brands where it's awkward to...
Did you see, there's a documentary called like Tiny Shoulders on Hulu uh-huh. that's all about the Barbie rebrand.
Oh, no. I think I've seen it advertised, but I haven't watched it.
It came on after I was watching something else and then it just, I think I finished like Handmaid's Tale and then that came on right after.
Yeah, you're like, we need an upper.
Yeah. And so I just let it play and it was a really good documentary, but like, I think Barbie like probably gave me a lot of issues of just like thinking like, oh, this is like the feminine ideal beauty, yeah. like blah, blah, blah. Like that was definitely imprinted in me. But I also just like loved Barbie. Like I was just like, she's fucking
Barbie.
Beautiful.
I still do. I love the Barbie font.
I love their hair. Like, and their.
It's fun.
It's fun. They wear clothes. Like,
they
have clothes
the most
for everything.
Fashion of like any doll, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially at the time.
So much fashion.
And
you could
also,
do all different kinds.
I had
kinds.
Teresa, and I had Barbies of every race too.
Yeah.
Which, like, obviously they were never marketed as heavily or like as iconic or like disseminated to such an extent as Barbie. But so I don't know. It's like I get obviously there's like a singularity among all of those ethnicities of what their bodies looked like. They're mm-hmm. all banging, you know, but
yeah. There wasn't much nuance when it came to like different races of Barbies. It was pretty much
color.
Like the same. It was like the color was different.
Yeah,
but, like,
or some textures. But
yeah, some textures.
I remember I had a Barbie that I had a soft Barbie that was like destined to sleep next to you. And I would bring her to some like, I had signed up for this dance class and I thought it was going to be a really serious course. And it was just some bullshit where they wanted you to dance with your doll. So her and I experienced that together. I thought I was going
to
Juilliard.
What did you do
when
you dance with your doll?
You know, like little bonding, I guess to give you like a sense of creativity with your toys.
Mm-hmm.
You're
like, I have it.
I was ready to be trained.
I'm already doing talk shows with them.
Producing. And honestly, look at this, a talk show.
Perfect. I know, full circle.
Barbie. I love when people are named Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
So hot.
Yeah, I love it.
It's the classic, like, feels very Americana, but also sexy cute, which doesn't always happen.
Even speaking of, like Barbie, like, back to blonde hair, I remember thinking, like, because I think I knew that if your hair was in the sun long enough, then it would get lighter.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, all I have to do is like put Barbie's hair on a light and then it'll be fine. So like I got a lamp and like took the lampshade off.
Oh my God.
And then like laid my Barbie's hair on top of the lamp and then it just melted onto it.
Ew,
and then melted
so
her
cool.
hair off and I felt betrayed.
That's when you learned like chemistry
I was like,
or physics.
I didn't learn either of those, but I did learn that her hair is like made of plastic.
Flammable.
Like it's not real hair.
That you're lucky your little hand didn't go up in flames with the melting.
Yeah. It's a sad moment.
Did you grow up tanning? Did you have to wear sunscreen growing up?
Yeah, I wore sunscreen growing up. But then when I was in high school, like when I got to like boarding school, tanning became a huge pastime
hobby.
For like me and all my girlfriends there.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing else to do. So we would just like, we'd sneak like oil like onto campus or something. And then this summer during our like lunch period, we would just sneak to like the back like deck of the dorms, and it would be like seven of us just lying out on towels, yeah, like so pretty much naked. And it would be right where the like right in front of the therapist's office. Like we had a therapist that would fly up to campus to like take patients all day. And so sometimes like a boy or someone would like walk back and they'd see like all the girls in their underwear and be like, Matt, stop.
Oh my God.
We got slutty so ass girls. Tan.
Wait, where was the therapist flying up from?
From Santa Barbara, I think.
Glam.
Yeah, it was glam.
I grew up tanning like as an essential family value for sure.
Like just like we're going to get our tan on this summer.
Oh, yeah, all year round. Like, my grandpa, I grew up in the house with him, too, and he would sit outside every single day in, like, short shorts and a t-shirt and tan, like, beautiful, like, roasted turkey-colored legs. Mm-hmm. And my mom and all, she has eight siblings in L.A., and they all were tanning. And my cousin's home from college right now, and she's, like, 20. And she looked so pale, and everyone kept bringing it up to her. And she's like, but she's really into skincare. And it's sort of like us sharing this first summer where we're both really into skincare. And I feel like I don't feel so old, but I also feel like I am not taking anything for granted when it comes to my skin.
Well, yeah, so you know better now.
Yeah, exactly. But what I also hate is that I don't want to use chemical sunscreen because that is what's like killing reefs and stuff. Like, so I only want to use natural sunscreen, but natural sunscreen makes you look so white. Like,
you have to get tinted.
Yeah, you have to get the BB cream kind. I really like this BB cream one from Kula I've been using. But so yeah, it's like we've been the last couple of weeks been trying, because since she was like 4 and I was 10, we would be slathered with Hawaiian tropic oil and we'd look amazing.
Yeah,
but neither of us are quite there now.
No, like I remember my mom would show me her arm because she had like sun damage on her arm, and she'd be like, if you have to wear sunscreen because this will happen to you. But anytime any adult ever said a single thing like that to me when I was growing up, I was like, whatever, that's your journey. That's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And like never listened to a damn thing. And so,
yeah.
And then now I'm like, oh, she was right.
Yeah. Like my cousin's mom always was slathering her in sunscreen. And my mom was like, my mom never made me do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was always a very disciplined person in certain areas that mattered. So she was mostly just like, passing me this tanning oil or like, do you want to stay home today and go to the movies? Or
really?
Yeah, she was so...
You had like a very lax, like...
No discipline.
Really?
Zero.
That's wild because you are one of the most disciplined people I know.
And thank you. I like that reputation because some hater on Instagram said, we get it. You smoke weed and travel all the time, but what do you do? And I was thinking, like, I smoke weed and travel and work all the time.
You're literally, like, one of the hardest workers I know. Your output, you write so much.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, not in that exact way, but that's why my mom was down to bribe, or not even bribe me, but just to like suggest this kind of stuff, because I think I was always like that, you know?
Would you make good grades in school?
Amazing. It was really hard for me to stop.
You were just like a motivated, I loved achieving. Ass bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't feel, I always had a lot of access to glamorous things or to nice restaurants or go to the shabby chic store in Malibu. But I also was like, a lower or middle working class family myself within our unit. But my mom had this bigger family where there was all sorts of different, you know, class representation. So it was like, I always had a lot of access to things, but a lot of insecurity about real things or something, you know? So I took it upon myself very early to like, be very dedicated to amassing anything I could. And then I found this book I wrote in third grade. Like everyone had to write a book and our teacher like bound it, which I think is really cute.
That is
cute. It was all about a girl like leading a gang of misfits to win money because she wanted a college scholarship so bad. And I read it and I thought, at first I was like, wow, I was a good writer. Like, yeah, this is really good for third grade, bitch. What? Go off, write your book, publish. But then I was like, gosh, I wish I could have relaxed. Like, But
that's also like you.
Yeah, I also got the scholarship, really. So whatever.
God. Yeah, I was always like, I achieved in things that I cared about. But if it didn't speak to me, I wouldn't even try.
Which is hot.
But it's also like I was reading back over a lot of my like teachers' comments from like high school and stuff. Cool. And they're like, we know that Lara could do this if she wanted to, but she's choosing to just like not do it. She's like she interested. Won't, like I just like wouldn't turn things in.
Yeah.
And be like,
I loved approval from my teachers. And like, I cared a lot about seeming smart. But now I feel smart. Woo! I don't give a fuck. But I mean, I guess with writing sometimes, especially as I begin writing more fiction or more like personal essay stuff that's not – I predominantly publish like journalism, you know. I think one of those central fear questions is like, am I an idiot? Like, does it matter? You know?
Yeah.
And I think I have a really good connection to myself with writing, which probably helps me get a lot of it done. But also just like it's how I feel grounded in the world. But then I don't know, like – You don't want to seem stupid.
No. My worst fear is someone like reading something that I wrote and being like, ugh, like that was bad. And I've and I mean, I've written things that have been bad before. Like,
yeah.
And things that I'll look back on and be like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing or like awful or whatever. But like, I don't know. It's just such a,
I think that I still, and this is something I really want to get rid of, because I think oftentimes I've met these women or these figures I cast for myself and have pretty much instant or like really cool friendships with them. But like I have these certain women in my mind that I think of as like smart girls.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that just means that they're doing something more specifically literary than me, I guess, in terms of like how they operate in the world. But that's not even true, because they're all writing for brands or doing work that's not pure, just like fiction writing every day either, you know? But I never want one of these smart girls to think I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. But then recently in the last year, I've been doing more like storytelling shows or a couple comedy shows. And what I realized is like, I also care a lot about being funny. So a big admission. So I just want to start. It's like helping me get over my literary anxiety.
Yeah.
And my smart bitch anxiety by just being fun and being like, that's the difference, is like, I don't, as much as I want to have like, I want to earn some sort of respect with like how I can write. I mostly want people to have a good time, especially people don't give a shit about, I want to be able to like honor writing without making it only accessible to other people who would say something like honor writing, you know?
Yeah. Like it, you want it to be like more universal or representative of you and first fun. And foremost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like speaking out loud has helped me be like, oh, this is what I could write to. Because the way that I was writing for those things wasn't the same way I was working on my personal projects. So
yeah, I mean, journalism is a different tone.
Yeah.
In like entirely.
Oh, yeah.
But I enjoy your journalism tone, because you do still get like some sneaky tyranny moments in there.
I hope so. I sure hope so.
I like struggled with writing in journalism tones, because I was like, didn't get to talk about myself. And I was like always trying to like bring things back to me and my experience.
Too.
And like those were always getting cut out of my pieces.
Totally.
And I'm like, so what makes this fun now I'm out of it?
Why did I write this then?
Yeah, I'm like, what's interesting about it now? You tell me. Which is like,
but I
bitch, like, that's not journalism.
It's amazing to be able to share, because it's like, that is what, you know, I've been able to have a really bomb career as a journalist. Like, I'm so grateful for it and I love it. And like, I feel that part of me will always do it in a certain way to like throughout whatever I end up doing in my life. But like, as I just phrased that sentence, it gives the impression that I don't see myself as like a full-time journalist forever, but it's just, who knows? I love it, but I just do, I've been trying to share more projects, because I'm always writing projects that aren't in journalism tone, but I've been trying to share more so that it feels a little bit more balanced, because as much as I'm proud of my journalistic work, then I'm kind of like, is it me, or do I sound like I'm an idiot, or like I'm like writing for someone that's not really who I want to be writing for. I don't know.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just got to file something.
Yeah. You got to just get it done.
What journalism has done so well for me and helped me so much with all types of creative stuff and acting and everything is just listening. Because, like, I spend so many hours a month interviewing people for so many years now. And it's like, even if sometimes I'm taking a selfie or, like, texting while I'm interviewing someone too, I don't have perfect focus. Like, I'm mostly really listening, you know?
Yeah. I can't multitask.
Yeah.
Like, my brain can only do like one thing at a time. And if I even like look at something else while someone's talking, it's over. Like,
that's probably good. Even though it seems annoying and like less helpful in the moment, it's like
I truly have to put all my focus into like whatever phone call is happening or whatever, because like I'll check out so easily or just be like, I want to get on the Daily Mail.
And I then make just, myself like, zone dizzy out. Sometimes with like toggling.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm on the phone with an interview, I mostly always am writing notes. Like if I'm actually respecting the experience, I'm like, it's not that I even look at those notes at all when I'm writing the piece because I just have a transcript, but just like, that keeps me like kind of smart. You know what I mean? And like, cause otherwise I can listen, but if I'm just passively listening, I'm less good at coming up with like actual follow-up questions rather than just like, oh, this is something else I should ask you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's always a fight. And I think now I'm like just realizing that it's always a fight against it's like me having to make myself be interested in something so I can be good at it is like my lifelong struggle. And that's what it comes down to with with the phone calls and stuff. Like I've been on like a lot of phone calls with like bankers and accountants and stuff, like setting up my business. And like it truly, like my gut thing is like, I just want to go on Instagram or like start DMing people, and I'll start to do that. And I will miss like 2 minutes of it. I'll ask a question. I'll be like, so what about this? And then they'll launch into the explanation. I'll be like, anyways. And then I realize like I didn't hear like, anything.
I'm the one that asked.
No, and I have to be like,
and I try to really respect everyone. I mostly said the selfie thing too, because up until like a week ago when it stopped opening on my computer, I've recorded every journalism interview I've ever done on Photo Booth.
Mm-hmm. Love that. You're literally being a glamour puss, aren't you?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm tore up, but sometimes I'm glam.
Mm-hmm. But you just want to document.
Either way, on film.
Yeah, you want it to be on film.
Yeah, and so it's been really annoying for my photo booth not to work because I'm like, what do I do? And it's like, it's also really annoying because I get to use a transcriptionist for most of my magazine writing, or I'll pay even myself to use it. Mm-hmm. Rev.com. I'm dying to be a Rev.com influencer. The best transcription site on the internet.
That is Rev.com.
$1 a minute. And within like 5 or 10 hours, they give it back to you.
$1 a minute. That's not bad.
It's not bad.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Because before I would pay humans and it was way more expensive.
Yeah, that's always really expensive.
I mean, these are also humans, but they're through the whole thing, but... Yeah, so when I would upload the video files there, it would take so long. So it's like really, it was a bad
system. Would give them the video files so they'd have to watch you.
I mean, and also I talk about so many sexual topics as well as like drugs, weed, and different topics than that too. But like they've definitely caught some. I think the glamorous looking ones aren't even as shocking as the like, spaghetti strap, no bra, it's 5:30 in the morning and I'm speaking to someone who's 8:30 on the East Coast, and like
I remember
the whole vibe.
Do you remember when we were doing like trying to kind of get podcasts together for Mel, and we were interviewing the phone sex operators.
Yes, for hours.
For hours.
How fun was that?
So we, Tierney was producing, what was it? It was just like a podcast about, yeah, it was like a sex.
It was going to be a show. It was going to be a written piece that I had, you know, suggested. And then we realized as this media company was going to endeavor into podcasts that this, since it was oral with AU, get it, sex, that we should do it as a podcast. And Laura had all this podcasting experience, and so she came in, and we were
like, we'll embark on this journey together, yeah, like, and like figure it out.
And I found probably like 6 or 7 people that we interviewed for like an hour each.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting.
It was really interesting. And it was like the first episode was going to be all about phone sex operators, yeah. PSOs.
Yeah.
And so.
Exactly. PSO is one of the first bits of vocab we picked up.
Yeah. And it was like, it was fascinating because I didn't realize that there were so many different genre
styles. Yeah.
Yeah. And styles.
Totally. And also the funniest and accurate, I believe, in a way, but so it's not funny like in a condescending way, but something I loved is how almost every PSO we spoke to was immediately insistent on how they're the smartest of all erotic service providers, like because of the imagination it takes. Because
yeah.
Basically I would sort of counter that with like, well, what about camming? Because that's also, you know, one on one and personal and, you know, specific fetish driven. And they were like, yeah, but one, like your body is doing a lot of the work there, or it's like taking over to an extent where you don't need as much of the like vocal or multi-sensory experience. And then also that just you need the language, your mastery of language needs to be so fabulous to be able to really give people an amazing phone sex
yeah
experience. And I'm like, true.
And the more I thought of it, I was like, wow, that is like a hard job to do.
And talk about not being in the mood all the time to be on the phone. Like, imagine, I mean, I remember people would speak to us about, they would be multitasking.
They're always multitasking.
Yeah. Because they're like, and because it's scripts and.
Yeah.
Or just like hot points, you know?
There was one woman who did like a real, like she had her voice that was just like talking to us kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And then her like whole persona sexy and like voice. Sexy voice that she could go into like on the drop of a hat.
I mean, it's funny because I think my voice is consistent, but I do have a very, if I came on this podcast 2 years ago, I would be much more like, hi, I'm Tierney, and, you know, thanks for having me on Babe Podcast, and yeah, but I still feel like I have bits of that, but it's just really tripped me out ever since that acting teacher told me that I've been using a fake voice because of patriarchy.
Okay, wait. Tell me more about your fake patriarchy voice.
So my friend was, you know, we have been in different acting classes together, and a lot of times we'll only go to a couple, but just seeing the vibe of the teacher, just seeing, oh, what's a space for us to play in? Not,
do you audit the classes?
Like, we'll audit, but then this one we actually joined.
Where was it? What studio?
I'll go right ahead and say it. It's Shelly Mitchell, and she is incredibly crazy. Mm-hmm. And, my friend and I went there, and, she had already been going, and she was like, oh, you're going to love this teacher because she's really into spirituality and angels and breath work and
love,
you know. And I had a previous experience with Eric Morris at Eric Morris Acting Studio, which was incredibly psychological, emotional. It felt like a lot of emotional clearing, but I was sort of just excited to go practice scripts. You know what I mean? I wasn't really here for all of that. And the first day I'm in this woman's class, she's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here because we're doing Enneagrams. And Enneagrams is like a method of identifying personality types based on – it's not based on astrology per se. I feel like it's even older, but it's basically like an ancient approach like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be like a Martian or a Leotian, like Leo. Like different astrology words are become Martian. So she tells me, oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say she just met me, remember, like right when I walked in, and a couple minutes later, she's like, yeah, I would say you're a Martian. You're a bull in a china shop. I'm like, what? And then like 2 minutes later, she's like, She just like...
Like, that's your essence?
That's who I am. And then she'd be
like... is what your best... To get just like who I am, that.
So yeah, to know that and to use it. That's why she
to
was
use
teaching
it to your
it.
Advantage.
To just know it as a human that that's who you are, but then to use that in like.
If I walked
parts.
Into a room where an acting coach told me I was a bull in a china shop, I would be turning around and walking back out of the
Can
room.
Can you believe how strong I am? I'm going to write a whole chapter in my book about things acting teachers have told me. Because yeah. I think I am like a masochist, or like you have all these fears of like the whole show fat actor and like all these things. And these teachers will just really give it to you. And it's sort of like by hearing them express, they become less real or something. But a minute later, she was like, oh, actually, you're a Venusian. And I was like, oh, really?
What the fuck is that?
I was like, "Who? What are examples of Venusian?" She goes, Santa Claus, Melissa McCarthy.
No.
Yeah.
Santa Claus?
Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. I'm
That's
like,
fucking,
bitch.
You're like, I'm a
but
woman.
Then she, yeah, Mrs. like, Claus.
Mrs. Claus, maybe.
I love that. She misgendered me.
She did. And the then, fuck? You're a what is a Venusian?
It means that I'm connected to Venus.
I agree.
As opposed to Mars. But it's pretty
like
confusing
Martian.
When she gives me, yeah, they're all, and like Leo is like, a Leo, like a sign, but that's not a planet, so I don't know. But this, she learned
up.
These mm-hmm. 25 or no, she learned these like 30, 40 years ago when she had become she was like getting work as a younger actor. Great friends with Ellen Barkin, who I don't, not that I even know that much about Ellen Barkin, but I learned she loves Enneagram still. And then this woman, my acting teacher, former, became involved in a cult for 20 years that was all based around these archetypes. And, but she's still up the street from here on Melrose in this little studio every Wednesday afternoon assigning these archetypes. And she's like, you know, it's really hard. Like since leaving the cult, it was already 20 years ago, but I basically have to, I have to stop myself from just really limiting my read of everyone to their archetype because I just see all your archetypes. Meanwhile, she assigns every person like three archetypes because she's kooky, you know?
Yeah.
So this is the woman who told also in a private session following this, because if you miss a class, you can have...
You make up.
Yeah, you can make up. And I had heard about a TV show, a Showtime show like a year ago. And I was like, oh, I would be perfect for the show. Like, and telling my friend's manager, like, look out for me for this. I want to go audition. And so a year later, this woman hits me up like, oh, it's time. They're casting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just met Shelley. So I was like, oh, serendipitous. Like, I'm going to go use that free private and go over there and prepare. And I already felt pretty good about it. And that's when she was like, I mean, we're not going to be able to get very far with this if you keep using that voice.
Shelly did not come to play.
No. And the whole time I was being kind of creepy and like agreeable. You know, mm-hmm. people I think would expect me to be like a contentious debater, but I love hearing insanity, you know?
Yeah.
So she said some things that were, she made such broad and sweeping socio-political comparisons to my feminine experience that I am too shy to even share here, or like too worried to be the mouthpiece of them. And so I was just soaking it all in. But then she showed me a video that was one of those horrible, like, viral Facebook videos that's, like, for spoken word fanatics. That's, like, the ability to enunciate is a power, you know, that, mm-hmm. like, whole thing. And it was so culturally biased and fucked up. Like, what it was basically exalting is, like, one American English that's the real English to speak, you know?
Yeah, like white people.
Exactly, but also, like... educated, rich, like, I don't know, like, even, you know,
like
what I mean?
Some mid-Atlantic.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, Katharine Hepburn. Like, she...
Wait, so she told you the patriarchy?
Yeah, but I'm like, she had already told me she, like, read my website, has seen different work I've made, and I mean, I'm sorry, like, patriarchy, totally have internalized it, totally continue to deal with repercussions from those internalizations and experiences. But you know me, I mean, I'm pretty much like a wild queer bitch.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think that, I feel like for
her. That was maybe she was picking up on too much of your Venusian energy.
And she was like getting lost in that womanly.
It was too sexy for her. Yeah, she was, and so she told you to.
She told me to stick my fingers down my throat regularly and speak and to practice.
Stick your fingers down your throat and vomit speak. Three times a day.
No, I know. Like
Santa
tricky.
Claus. Like, yeah. What the fuck is this mean? Ho, 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 ho.
She told me that I had to stick my fingers down my throat in order to open my voice. And this is like guidance that I am working hard as a journalist to afford, and that's what I'm getting. I was like, what? And then imagine how I went going to that audition, and it was like one of the better and less like personal, like a lot of the times it'll be nice that, you know, the way that I get to go into those experiences or opportunities is through someone I know or there's some favor or relationship. But like I'm meeting all these strangers, and another stranger has just told me that I sound like a fucking like weak fraud mm-hmm. that's scared of men, and so I won't use my voice. And then the character in the piece, the reason I thought I was so great for it was that it was like about like a plus size slut, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I mean, she whispered to me when we were doing it, because we're in her home, by the way, which was like full of nice products that I was staring at and thinking, oh, she's making a nice living off these, or these are really good gifts. But she was like, I mean, I always have wondered, you know, bigger women, all that extra estrogen. But I'm like, what? Like, she was basically saying that fat women like me are so horny. But that's like, I got a 5 in AP bio talking about achievement. Like, that's not a thing.
This woman is wild.
She's amazing. And I heard she was Boots Riley and like a bunch of Sorry to Bother You. Mm-hmm. I heard she was their acting teacher. And I'm like, what went down?
What is continuing to go
yeah,
down?
Yeah.
She's saying some wild shit. No, I'm like about, I live for someone just like telling me a mystical thing about myself totally. That may or may not be true.
Yeah.
So I have like half a mind to just like go. See, I want to just sit in on one class.
I want you to audit the other guy I mentioned too, because he really is like, he will do it where it's too real. She was too kooky mm-hmm. and he just naturally is like, oof, he really gets you.
Really?
Yeah.
Is their whole thing like breaking you down?
Well, no, not necessarily. He's not as like he's aggressive, but it's not as aggressive as that sounds. But within my own personal issues, he was basically being like, without describing all the amazingly positive comments he would later give me, like upon meeting me, he was like, you seem like such a grounded and like soulful person that is 100% resistant to sharing your actual self vibe. And I feel like I share myself a lot, you know what I mean? So I was mm-hmm. very resistant to that, but it's true.
He's
I
like, think, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And also just like, it's true. And I don't know if it's because I'm a Capricorn or what, but like when I broke my leg, I told everyone, should we still go to the beach? Like I downplayed. I did not want to be real about what I was actually feeling.
Yeah.
And he's being like, how do you want to be an actor? If you know, that kind of thing. So he would like make me seat 6 people in the front row and go one by one and go off on them or like, but then one, I still was pretty resistant because I like to be like cool, you know, like I like to be mm-hmm. like calm, you know? And then I don't have that like true feralness that some of these folks do all broken when they come in. And then and then he was like, he finally did. He was like, I was on stage and I was like not really being down to, because if you don't bring in like a craft exercise, like if you don't bring in a script, he just makes you do personal. He gives you a personal exercise, which mm-hmm. is like dealing with yourself, but not with any material. So he was giving me a personal exercise and I was still resisting a bit. And he was like, so how does it feel to be a very fat actress? And it was Valentine's Day. And it was like, I had woke up with my boyfriend at the time and now, but at the time I had only known him like a month, and like waking up with him on Valentine's Day, like amazing. Yeah. I was like, not, that's like so lame in a way, but in terms of my relationship to my body, it like meant so much to me
yeah.
to like.
And I'm sure your just relationship history, it's like that having that perfect moment or where it's like you're setting off on this foot
exactly.
of like what a beautiful day for myself
exactly.
like
exactly
you're
going
walking
to
on
my
sunshine
studio.
You're gonna go to the acting
I woke up
studio.
With the sun shining on my white fur laying yeah. with him yeah and I was just like really gutted I really was. I was crying the whole class, basically. And like when I went home, I was living by myself, but my two friends had basically stayed over and like were just fucking around all day there. And when I got home, Flo and Nico, and when I got home, we were all talking about it. And like, but I think even me, it was the gravity of that experience for me was like enough that I would, that I shared with them what had happened because I wanted that support. But even just that was sort of a way of showing what he did worked, because I would never be one to bring that up. Like, I typically wouldn't share that kind of experience with someone if I wasn't going right back to them and if it didn't really bother me. Yeah. And I think that's changed a lot for me now. Like, obviously, I'm saying this here, and like, I'm pretty down to talk about the realest shit about me, you know? Mm-hmm. But I became a lot more open to doing so. But yeah, obviously, I don't know, like, people are like, oh, that's trauma, that's abusive. And when I met Shelly, she was like, oh, he's a patriarch. Oh, you know, Eric, he's still alive. He's a patriarch. You know, because he taught like Jack Nicholson. Like, yeah. He taught like old people. But again, I love a
patriarch. Well, Shelly's no cakewalk.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, that's why it's like, if it's everyone's going to abuse you a little,
yeah,
you might as well go where it's effective and personally transformative, because I would recommend that class to anyone just to audit and see like the level of reality people work with there is really strong. Check out my reel on YouTube, Tierney Finster 2017.
Cast me in your projects.
Yes, I love casting Lara. You know, I just love casting her for Instagram, for YouTube shows.
I like you as Vine. My director.
Yeah, Lara, trust me. That's all I'll say.
I'm trusting. Maybe we'll have to share that video.
Yeah, please.
Where Tierney and I were making a video one day at our old job, and she got me to say some crazy shit
that
wasn't even meant to say.
But it sort of was like justice for the environment, mm-hmm. what you were saying. Yeah. It actually is one of the more progressive pieces, dare I say.
It's art.
Yeah.
It's art.
We would work somewhere where there was like 12 people working in this one office. And then the particular morning that we made this piece of art during, like 24 cases of half and half were got delivered. So we're like, oh, okay, we each can drink two. Or like,
yeah. We discovered in the office fridge 24 bottles of half and half. So we did what any young creatives would do and made content out of it.
We a shitstorm of content that's like honestly inspired everyone. I mean, my art direction and like basic directing skills inspire. This is what always happens when you're doing an amazing piece of social content off the fly. Mm-hmm. Everyone else will come in once you've already set it all up and they get their phones out and they start filming. What are you supposed to say?
Yeah, and they want their piece
closed
of the pie.
Set.
I feel like we brought a lot of inspiration to the office that we worked in,
to say the least.
And like some much needed
joie de vie.
Yeah.
That's where I learned the phrase joie de vie.
That was my first experience. Like, I've not worked in many offices for like long periods of time because it's like I generally will get like fired from an office job. But like, this was one of the first times where I thought like, oh, like this is like is going to be kind of like a writer's room feel.
Yeah.
Where we all just like talk and like share our stories and like make each other laugh. And then it was like, oh no, this is like another office. Like, you need to do your work. And your work is not sharing your stories and making other people laugh.
I know I talked about acting, but I really want to get in a writer's room too. So no, I know, because that's what we love to do, right? And like,
all I want to do is just like talk shit about myself,
but also share
and share and hear other people's stories and then just like lol all
day. Enjoy life and its many iterations and nuanced emotions. But yeah, I mean, I think like that was my first and only time so far working at like a startup as well, like a media startup. So the like timeline on those kind of things is just like, I don't know. I don't know if some people, if they're doing it quicker to less positive effects or what, but it's just like slow. So Laura and I would just have like a lot of time to make social media content
and get to know each other.
Literally, like we were party girl friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working at this company and was like, I was supposed to focus on sex and relationships. And I was like, I think it was because you already had Cosmo sex tips, right?
I had Cosmo sex tips and was just like doing like random shit.
I just associated you as a modern love guru. I hate this phrase modern dating. Mm-hmm. And so I said modern love cheekily. It wasn't for real. So.
No, good. I was like, I love that you think modern that.
Dating, and I hate mediated by screens, and I hate like certain media buzzwords. Mm-hmm. But so we had so much fun, and we fueled each other's shopping addictions, and
we had a lot of Sephora trips.
Oh, I forgot that because Sephora opened at my call. The office was right near where I went to school too. So like in my college main shopping center, a Sephora arrived and we had to make use of it.
Yeah. A lot of Sephora, like a lot of like leisurely lunches.
Dinners, breakfast. Yeah. It coffees, was a good. Teas. Too bad we weren't there together when Erewhon opened because that was just crazy.
Yeah.
But we did get a lot of GTA, Juista.
So much Juista.
You put me on to Juista. I had never been there before.
We went to, yeah, it was beautiful.
God, if you ever need a restaurant recommendation in Venice.
Hit me up.
Yeah, hit Lara up.
I would actually just tell you like two places. I'd be like, Jelena or Juista.
Don't you're talk like to me. No, now there's a Japanese one too. So.
Oh, yeah, and I haven't Mountain. Been to that one. Fuck.
Me neither. But do you like ramen?
Yeah, I've never love seen ramen. You eat it. It's a solo.
Do you
eat.
Like pho?
Love it.
I love these foods, but we never shared them.
We never did, but you know what?
We haven't. Now again, we're going to have. We haven't there's eaten. So we weren't much. Friends before work that much, so we didn't eat that many meals.
I know. And so now we have to explore some Asian cuisines together. Please.
We also got a lunchtime pedicure before.
Oh, yeah. That lasted so long.
Yes.
So basically, we're great in an office setting.
Literally. I mean, you can you. Already tell our depth and creativity, but now you see how much fun we are, too.
Let's do some reader mail.
Please. The fact that you receive reader mail is, like, so amazing.
I love nothing more
than that communication. Than a lot of times, I want to tell you out loud what the babe reader mail I was going to write once said.
Yes, tell me.
And I figured that it was too trivial, or I didn't want to seem like I was just like trying to be spoken about. So I didn't share. But after listening to you and Ryan once, I once and for all stopped ordering iced lattes and just switched to only iced coffees or iced Americanos. And I had been ordering iced lattes for a long time, so it was very significant for me. Mm-hmm. But your description of them as just a cup of icy milk really
hit it home.
Hit the nail on the head for me. And also I have sinus. I love clear sinuses. So like the visual of that icy milk, it was like game over.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome. I stopped with a latte too. I used to be way into almond milk lattes. And then I was just like, this is just almond milk. Yeah. Now I'm a cold brew girl. I got my 18. Yuck. I got my 18 serving cold brew
Someone
maker.
Someone gave me that today, right?
Someone gave me that today.
That's. I don't know the price point, and you don't need to say it, but that seems luxurious, no matter what the cost. That's
no, I amazing. Was like, this is because I usually am a hot coffee and a French press kind of gal, yeah. But it's too hot for that now. Like it's yeah. entered cold brew territory.
Totally.
So I need it. Like I threw that on the wish list, and then it arrived today, and I immediately
Made
put
it?
A batch in the fridge. Yeah, so that so it will be ready cool. for tomorrow. And then I guess
you
it'll last me
it.
Weeks because
now,
it's
will
so
put
big.
A little almond milk in it?
No, you just put all the coffee in like the middle part.
Uh-huh.
And then you fill the rest up with cold filtered water, screw the cap on, and then it's airlocked.
Okay.
And then you shake it up so it kind of disperses, lay it on its side, put it in the fridge for like 8 hours.
And then it's just ready.
And then it's just ready. And then you just have a pitcher of ice cold
wow,
brew.
Wow, I want that.
Okay.
Dear Lara.
Hey, Lara. Since Sup is on hiatus and I burned through every bonus episode, I've done a deep dive into Babe. Love you. Love Ryan. Sad I'm getting into Babe 2 weeks after Ryan's departure, but I plan on sticking around regardless. As I listen to past episodes, I find myself relating to you on a handful of levels. Sexual abuse / rape, meth use, being terrible with finances, taxes, and an obsession with all things VPR.
Amazing.
Me at my essence.
Kindred.
I'm like in the job interview being, they're like, so what are you going to bring
meth,
here?
Meth, sex,
sexual abuse, rape,
reality.
Meth use, terrible at finances, obsessed with Vanderpump
Oh
Pool.
My God, yes.
I've also had some very babe moments, like lying about an abortion in college. I wasn't pregnant in the first place. Going through an ex-boyfriend's emails for 2 years. I found out he got a DUI and cheated on the girl he left me for on a cruise. Very bleak stuff. Ooh. Having unprotected sex with a multitude of strangers I met online in high school to cope with my mom's cancer journey. Keying the hood of a guy's car. He'd cheated on a friend of mine, etc. I started listening to Babe right around the time I began my new job. I'm presently 2 months in and I've yet to make any connections whatsoever, which is rare because I'm normally one to make fast friends in any situation. I also live and work in Orange County, which is a constant mental K-hole. That being said, your podcasts have gotten me through this period where I'm feeling very babe and not babe. Anyways, as long as you keep podcasting, I'll continue to chip away at your Amazon wish list as a thank you for all that you've done for myself and countless other babes out there. Love, light, and pump teenies.
Aww. Hmm. I'm so moved.
I love.
So cute.
Orange County is a tough zone for me
I'm
to relate
to. Orange County girl. You know that song?
No.
Gwen Stefani, she's just an Orange County girl living in an extraordinary world. And she's like, sing. And Orange County's not the best spot. But I guess I don't know, like, where this reader, listener, writer was living prior to compare the experience, right? Like, was it here or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Here in Los Angeles.
But I'm sure that there's, like, one person at work that can be your like spirit work animal.
And just what I think is a huge social issue I've seen in offices I've worked at is that people will only interact with those. I mean, it's really like a class issue, I guess, but like they just want to work with they want to make friends with the people on their team or their direct colleague. But like the guy who refills the snacks or like the person that comes in and cleans at night might be like the secret chiller, like funny person you need to just give you like a little sparkle of familiarity and home, you know? Mm-hmm.
You just need to identify one loller and like lock them down.
Yeah. And consider bringing in some extra baked goods or.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Lure people with food because it makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah, food is great. Or even like going out for like a happy hour, like mm-hmm. putting together like
an
with
effort.
Someone else, like a happy hour thing after work.
Yeah.
That can like be your own selfish way of like getting
gauging
people you work
people.
With drunk and then like, yeah, seeing what their deal like. Is.
Yeah, because some people really feel certain pressures or boundaries at work that one cocktail will really dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that it's fine to not be friends with people at work.
Yeah. If they're not speaking to you.
It's like, sort of hard for me. Like I want friends at work.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think like that's like some people pleasy bullshit I have too. Because it's like, well, I don't need to be lauded everywhere I go. I need to do my job.
Yeah. Job comes first. But for me, I'm like, I want it to be like in synergy. Like, I want to like everyone that I'm working around. I want them to like or at least appreciate me.
Well, that's why you're self-employed.
That's why I work by myself.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here supporting you.
Dear Lara and TBD co-host, longtime reader and also the lady who wrote in about poppers. Lara, please advise. I'm buying a house. My realtor told me that the house I'm buying comes with a sordid past. The family that currently lives there had a daughter that robbed the next door neighbor, and after that, the family got in a huge fight and started suing each other over property issues. The owners of the house I'm buying made their neighbors rip down half of their brand new deck because it crossed onto their property line. Just a mess. Both families are babes, in my opinion. However, this is the real question. The daughter apparently was a drug addict, and I think she overdosed in the house. I found out through a GoFundMe page that she died in the hospital ICU. Is her spirit or ghost going to haunt my house? Her mother and stepdad are moving to Florida. Her real dad also died from an overdose. What should I do? The poor girl was 20 years old. I have Vicodin in the house. Is her ghost going to steal them? Oh. Worried about her haunting us. I told my husband we should get a ghost cleaner to get out the bad spirits. He thinks I'm crazy. Thoughts? I can't have a ghost babe haunting my house. Love and light.
Wow.
Wow.
I feel like it's a blessing to not know stuff about the place you buy.
Yeah. But I think you also need to sage the fuck out of that. Yeah. You can release that spirit pretty easily, but you're going to need to do like a cleansing.
do a lot of intentional cleansing.
I follow a witch. I'm on her email list, and she just wrote in her most recent email was about doing home cleansing. So I'll forward it to you.
Yeah. I mean, I think like one of the first ways I learned about property politics was from Jeff Lewis on Flipping Out as a kid. And he always would bring someone in to sage and cleanse the homes before like trying to sell them or before like a real buyer came in.
Yeah. You've got to do it.
And by meditating throughout that staging and cleansing process and being like, I love my house, and just affirming how happy you are to be in the house. Because I think that if you focus the energy on the worry about what might come from the past spirits, then it's only going to amplify them.
Yeah, it could turn into like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
And the next thing you know, 20-year-old overdose girl could...
You're going to have gonna be lines in your bathroom. On your arm.
Yeah. You're going to have like a handprint. There's going to be lines next to the bed.
That vivid image of the ghost stealing the Vicodin, that is a plus, right?
I love that. I love thinking of you walking into your bathroom like late at
counting
night.
Counting pills.
Turning on the light and seeing like a flash of like a ring girl being like... I don't think ghosts would steal Vicodin though.
They're already high.
Hi, Laura, and potential additional babe guest host.
Woo!
Love the podcast. I first heard you on Watch What Crappens and fell in love with your sense of humor and style of speaking. I immediately subscribed to Sup for the lols. When I learned there were more lols to be had, I jumped into Babeland headfirst. I'll definitely miss hearing Ryan, so I hope he'll hop in now and again when he finds the time. I adore y'all's friendship and banter. Anyways, said in Laura voice, let's get to the babe reason I'm writing here, shall we? As you and Ed mentioned on the recent babe episode via Sup Patreon, Trump era has led to a severe amount of babing out. The news is always a total babe. That's an all caps babe with an angry exclamation point. And social media has gotten all kinds of babe dot dot dot. It's a mess out there. So let's back it up. I love a good social media lurk. I strategically follow several idiots from high school or what have you, not because I'm in any way involved with their lives anymore, but because they're so fucking babe that it brings me endless lols. One mark in particular that I love to lurk on is a gal called JJ. She's obsessed with Britney Spears, not like how we all are. She is so obsessed with Britney that she moved to Vegas and got a job as a beer tub girl when Brit got her residency there. She said it would help her increase her odds of meeting her queen. Not wrong, I suppose. JJ's body is covered in tattoos dedicated to Britney.
Oh my God. They range
from deep quotes like, all eyes on me, I'm the center of the ring just like a circus.
All eyes on me, the center of the ring just like a circus.
To shoddy album cover artwork, we all remember the flower from Baby One More Time, right?
Uh-huh.
She met Jamie Lynn Spears a few years ago and had her sign her arm, which she would later get tattooed.
No.
Stop. She regularly posts photos of herself posing at her beer tub while clad in an LSU bikini. She did not go to LSU, nor is she from Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
This, as you may have guessed, is another ode to Miss Spears. I'll give it to JJ. She looks great and sometimes even favors Brit. More about her that has added to my lurk enjoyment. One, her boyfriend is a Michael Jackson impersonator on the strip. He's white. Two, she's very into ghost hunting.
Wow. Let's make a good place to move.
Yeah. And also, we should connect JJ with the previous reader.
Yeah.
Well, as you can see, she's the kind of babe who brings regular lol content to the Facebook feed. Enter the election. Babe starts sporting a lot of MAGA gear. Recently, I posted to my own Facebook page about Trump's visit to North Korea. Crazy how this is old news now. Something fucking happens every day. I shared an article about him being a douche and captioned it, "What a schmuck." Almost immediately, I received a comment from our Britney babe telling me that I'm stupid and I don't appreciate that the president is bringing world peace. Lols. I respond with, "Read the article." She replies by linking me to a Nicole Arbour video. If you're not familiar, she's a vom, not a babe, a vom. I decided at this point to not respond further. Pretty sure Facebook fighting is not chic and we would get nowhere with this one. So that brings me to my question. In this nauseating MAGA Trump era, how do we navigate social needs? Do you take babes to task online? Am I a babe question mark for privately trolling so hard on this fish? Are you as triggered by red hats now as I am? Help.
Ew.
Your Britney babe sounds like a really fun...
She's so amazing, yeah.
Really fun follow, but you just like... I don't engage.
You cannot engage.
Mm-mm.
No, because, you know, community organizers, they want you to call people in, not out. So it's like taking your energy that could be used on like a moderate person and getting them to be more actively or like effectively into what you're into or your beliefs is going to be more impactful than like going ham on an extremist, right?
Yeah. And also if she like, consider the source, like this exactly. woman has Jamie Lynn Spears signature tattooed on her arm.
That was the bottom for me, that entire story. I mean, the Trump stuff is the actual lowest point, but like I was all in for all of that level of Britney until, because I wasn't even impressed with meeting Jamie, but I could see why that is something. But the signature tattooed, no.
Yeah, so she's already like a psychotic person.
Well, yeah.
Like, I don't think you're anything you say to her is going to change her mind.
Also, it's like, stay in your lane. Like, you follow her because you hate her.
Yeah.
She's a hate follow.
Mm-hmm. So, like, there's no point in, like, trying to speak out against her. Like, you don't want to get blocked.
Yeah, that's the hugest social media consequence of real beef. But also, and this isn't a read by any means, but just on my own experience, unless it's about something that I think is like really urgently. I recently engaged on social media. I usually refrain because I don't want to seem like I have all this time to get active with you in the comment section.
Yeah.
Because that's my own ego. But recently I was compelled to comment on one of my good friends posted something. And I could not believe it. And it was about Pizzagate. First of all, it's like a year late.
And over a year late.
Yeah. And then it was this, she had also written a really
Pizzagate truther?
Yeah. Pizzagate like posted that video of Demi Moore kissing a 15-year-old from, they were both on General Hospital. And I just simply chimed in with the, and she was being like, Hollywood is fucking perverted, full of pedophiles. Pizzagate is real. Pizzagate is real.
I need
but
to
she had also
her.
Posted just an amazing caption that was really, it was on 4th of July that this happened. And that same day she posted something really thoughtful and amazing about her own mom's experience as an immigrant that was largely undocumented during her stay here, and now she has citizenship, but just like all this really real stuff about like what's going on with these children and families in detention and all of this. And so I was like, liked that, read that. And then I see the post that came right before it and it was Pizzagate is real. And I just, at first I just went really objectively and was like, she was 19 and he was 15 and they were both on General Hospital. And then I wrote also, white supremacists started Pizzagate. Like,
yeah.
And I will still remain, I'm not a Pizzagate expert, but I just felt like, but I feel like in the situation, I was called in to like question her because she's someone that I really love. You
yeah.
know?
That's a good point. So, like, if it's someone, if you're like, it's kind of like a babe where you're like, hey, I'm going to just take a moment yeah. to see if you really know what you're doing
exactly.
out of a place of love and out of me caring about
exactly
you.
Exactly how I felt.
And like, I'm just flagging this as like a little bit strange.
But I think at that moment, if it was just someone I'm following for novelty or nostalgia, like I'm going to have to
screenshot.
I'm going to have to unfollow, or sometimes like, I mean, if what I love to do is just not follow, but go like with the Kardashians.
Go and
check
in.
I don't follow them, but I check in regularly.
Yeah. There's some people that I like will throw a hate follow to, or not even, I don't hate.
Hate follow sounds intense, but it is
too
sort of real.
It is real,
it's
but
it's not unreal.
A lurk follow or just
disgust
like.
Disgust follow.
Yeah, where I'm like, wow, this person is truly spiraling off the face of the planet. And this is like a car crash in slow motion that I can't stop watching. I need to know about
yeah.
everything that they do because it truly becomes entertainment. Like, I view it as almost performance art because there are some people that
some
are so psychotic.
Person I like to watch is just, she's so amazing at the art.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's like, I have to get in here
yeah.
and cement this follow. Cause like, what if they go private? Like, I need to just be
yeah,
in the inner circle.
Totally.
But like, would I ever try and correct her over anything?
No.
Absolutely not.
Who are you though? That's what, it's like my mom. You
yeah.
know, she hasn't been on Facebook that long. She gets on there. She's writing all sorts of stuff. And she gets mad at me because I tell her, mom, you don't know shit. Like, you don't, you watch these programs all the time and you have great, amazing values, But I bet you don't know any of these people's names. Like, you would recognize them, but you can't draw. My mom's not an idiot. She's just, like, a passive listener.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's, like, getting all up in Adam, but then you don't know shit either.
I saw some Pizzagate truthers on Melrose the other day.
What?
They were like, what? So I follow, like, a lot of these, like, kind of mystical accounts, like, one I think is called, like, Conscious Vibrancy or something, but it's, like, it's this weird breed of Instagram account that's, like, all about crystals and, like, mystical shit.
But also truth.
But then also they're truthers.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, they believe in, like, crazy shit. They, like, they are 9/11 truthers, Pizzagate truthers, and, like, have like crazy conspiracy theories that I was like, whoa, I didn't realize that this was like such an active part of their brand. But then it kind of made me like love them more because I was like, you're fucking crazy.
That was like a sort of extra like potentially babe element to like why I was reacting against the Pizzagate thing so much because I could tell that there was this person, we had a mutual friend and I basically had developed a crush on him a few years ago. He DJ'd your book party when I came in all wild. And we don't have to say his name, but that's the guy.
Wait, which book party? At the Roosevelt?
It was your birthday party and Ryan's book party.
Oh.
But I did go to your book party at the Roosevelt, but we weren't really friends or didn't talk.
God, that party was lit. Like, a lot of people showed up.
Yeah.
It was an event.
A total event.
But anyway, I can't remember who this DJ was.
It was DJing, and he's a huge conspiracy person. And he is also, one of his conspiracies believes in is virginity. So we were like, we've been friends for a long time. Like, he was a virgin when we were hanging out, and I think he's still a virgin.
Oh, he just believes, like, you have to be a virgin?
Yeah.
For what reason? Like, saving his seed?
I mean, if I could provide what I really think are the answers, they're way too crazy reads. But like, basically, it just annoyed me that he, during this time where we would begin making out and stuff, and then he would like really get off on withholding sex from me. But I'm like, bro, you're withholding pleasure from yourself. It's not. So it became a horrible dynamic.
Yeah.
But then he was like, I don't want to mislead you because I'm really in love with someone else who is the friend that already had a boyfriend that is now posting Pizzagate stuff. And I can see that they're kind of like he DJ'd a party that her work threw recently, like as recently as actually it's tonight. And then I could just tell that they're hanging out more and it's totally inappropriate and that he was teaching her bullshit like Pizzagate. And I just fucking got so annoyed.
So they're like, they're two truthers who are finding each other.
Yeah. And like, I love critical thinking and I believe in a lot of conspiracy, but
I love conspiracies.
You can believe and enjoy conspiracies without going full truther ethos.
Yeah. And also, like, I know someone who's like best friend, who's like one of his oldest friends owns the pizza parlor where Pizzagate was. Wow. And he was like, there's no Pizzagate. Like,
what the fuck?
But then also, wouldn't someone who is in on Pizzagate, he'd be trying to
There's
tell
only
me.
A way.
But
that's a pretty VIP acquaintance of yours.
It's very VIP. So I have it on pretty good authority that Pizzagate is a lie. Otherwise, I'd be buying it. but that reminds me, like, conspiracy theories are such a babe to me, so I'm gonna do a call out to the readers and I want to hear any crazy conspiracy theories that you believe in or that you've heard of people believing in.
Yeah.
And I want to like talk about that on the next episode.
Totally.
So please write me babepodcast@gmail.com with your conspiracy theories or any sort of journey that you've had into a conspiracy theory world. I want to hear all of it.
Especially, yeah, related to all things.
Really, it could be related to anything. Like, in any topic of a conspiracy,
tell me.
I need to know.
Amazing.
Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited for the journey of episodes that we're going to do.
Did you hear that word Lara said earlier?
Arc. Also, if you want, you can make an Amazon wish list and I'll share it with the readers.
I had to close my eyes to not share such raw emotion.
That's part of
readers,
the guest deal.
This is a challenge if you guys are fame whores or not, because I feel like Ed is sort of famous.
Ed's famous, so therefore does
and
have a leg up.
I don't mean sort of in a derogatory way. I mean it in like a colloquial way.
Yeah. And he's like, he's slowly edging in on my own wishlist territory, which is causing me to have a lot of...
I love how you're openly mad about it, too. Yeah.
Well, I have to be honest about my feelings.
Yeah, or else what are you doing?
Yeah, but your wishlist items will be sent to you, and then you can unbox them however you see fit.
Oh, that would be a whole new dynamic for the platform. Pretty interesting.
I mean, they can be sent to me, too. I'm happy to open them, but I think...
You have enough. I saw UPS here. Yeah,
I think I know you well enough to know that you'd prefer them to be sent to yourself.
I recently shared my first unboxing video on Instagram, and the response was pretty solid.
That's great. Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat wanting more content, more hair flips.
I'll let people know. Oh my God, I had so many hair flips and I was embarrassed to post because of that. And then you're like, the hair flips.
No, I live. Those would have made it for me. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, maybe one of my visual or sonic cues will relax y'all so much that it'll really help your life. And I'll just close on saying that I really know how to give a deal and that I'm available for really intimate and highly customized communications. So
deals. Okay.
I'll have to get on making a list.
I love it. You're throwing down. All right. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.